Blog Talk Radio.
I'm back, but I'm all alone. Sports Talk Radio on the air, live every Friday night, courtesy of PackSportsPage.com. I am your host, Randy Zelia, and out dancing like Miley Cyrus is Jose Padilla, who is not here tonight, so I'm flying a little solo. Lots to talk about. The NFL season is upon us, 1 week away from everyone's favorite sport, and we'll be talking a lot of NFL action tonight. Tonight we have the crew from Monday Morning Hangover, which is heard exclusively here on Back Sports Page Radio. They'll be joining me a little later on tonight. Also joining me tonight, the co-owner of Back Sports Page, Seth Kamens. We'll break down a little bit of the sports world. And, of course, later on I'll have one of my world-famous rants. I don't know if it's world-famous because I don't know if people in China have ever heard it before. But it's damn good. And, you know, Miley Cyrus might be brought up yet again. I want to bring up a couple different points to start the show. And first off, if you want to contact the show, you can contact me at 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846. You can find me on Facebook at Real Sports Talk Radio, facebook.com, Real Sports Talk Radio. Hashtag me, Real Sports Talk Radio, on Twitter at RandyBSB. Jose is AngryJose15, but he's not here tonight, so you don't have to really tweet him tonight. That's fine. So you can tweet Jose whenever you want, at backsportspage.com. You can hashtag at backsportspage or hashtag Real Sports Talk Radio. And, you know, the good part about Jose not being here, it gives other people the time to fly on this program and the opportunity to welcome in some other people. So let's bring in the co-host of the Seth and Sean Show, which can be heard here every Tuesday on the Back Sports Page Network at 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, the one and only Seth Kamens. Seth, how are you?
Did you actually forget to say also the co-owner of backsportspage.com?
No, I said that before you called in.
Okay.
I said because
how are you doing, Randy?
the co-owner of – I love how he doesn't even say, hello, how are you? He tries to correct me immediately.
Why should this be different than every other conversation that we have?
You know, you bring up yet another valid point, and I forgive you for that.
Thanks. How are you doing, Randy?
Meanwhile, back in reality. Okay, so Seth Kamens is here, and you can find Seth. I'm doing all of, like, the plugs of where you can find us, where, you know, where we are. You know, are you more of a Facebook or more of a Twitter person?
I'm more of a Facebook person. Seth and Sean Sports Radio. We do have hashtag Seth and Sean off Twitter, where you can find myself on Facebook as well. But our show's Tuesday nights at 7. Usually good fun had by all. Sean's been on a two-week hiatus, but he will be back for the NFL preview next week.
Okay, so that's, you know, I think next this week's the week that everyone's been waiting for, the return of the NFL. And I make it sound like it's almost like a movie. It's the return of the NFL. But I think that this is the first year, was it first year in close to 8 years that the defending champion doesn't get a home game?
Yeah, it is kind of a strange thing, but it is. I mean, that Baltimore-Denver game really is a big-time way to start the year. I'm not that excited about Baltimore this year. I think they take a huge step back. I think most people think that. But Denver will probably be the favorite, although I don't think I'm going to have them going to the Super Bowl. They'll be one of the favorites going in. And it should be a good season. I think everyone's excited just because, well, you're excited because baseball, I mean, less people can talk. We can talk less about baseball, which always makes me happy. And number two, if you live in New York and you have Time Warner Cable like I do, you will not have to watch the Jets, which is also good news.
Yeah, CBS, if you're not following the story, Time Warner Cable is having all sorts of issues, and you might be losing the ability to watch that and Two and a Half Men. So, you know, that's a big problem.
Well, considering I haven't watched Two and a Half Men pretty much ever,
That's not. I will miss How I Met Your Mother. I'll miss the U.S. Open, and I'll miss college football. That's all I really care about. But I don't. The actual shows, that doesn't really matter to me.
That's a valid point. So let's go across some different headlines right now. We'll start in the NFL, and let's start close to home here in New York. Let's start with the New York Jets. I think it's appropriate because there's a lot more news coming out of that camp than there is with the New York Giants. The New York Jets are a very interesting situation, I think, in football. You have a GM, a brand new GM, who is listening to the owner and they're saying, well, let's give the head coach one more year so we don't have to pay him to sit home and do nothing. And it's turning out to be a disaster. Sources are telling ESPN that Geno Smith is likely going to be the starter week one because of Mark Sanchez's injury. Matt Sims is, last night was going against a bunch of guys who work at Staples. And, it's one of those things where I'm not fully convinced that Rex Ryan, after 4 years, I've never seen a coach take a job and deteriorate to a point where it's painful the way it has become.
Well, the problem is, we joke about this. There are certain topics we've decided we really no longer want to talk about on the Seth and Sean show. And in basketball, it's Dwight Howard. In baseball, it's A-Rod. And even though he's a diehard Jets fan, it is brutal to talk about the Jets. The reality is when Seattle GM, assistant GM John Isaac Kim becomes the GM of the Jets, they should have just cleared house. The idea of Tannenbaum re-signing Sanchez to a $9 million extension for 1 year was ridiculous. It's proven that the team will probably fight with Jacksonville and the Raiders for the Jadeveon Clowney / Teddy Bridgewater pick as one of the top two picks in the NFL draft this year. I think they're a disaster. Other people are a little bit more optimistic than I am. They're a team that just cares about headlines, and headlines don't make you win. That's why they brought in Tebow. It's why they brought in Brett Favre. This team is a mess. And, should they have – Sanchez has no chance to re-save his career in New York. So it would have been better – it would have just been better for everybody if there had been a clearing out after this year, after this prior year. Unfortunately for Jets fans, it'll happen after the upcoming season.
I also love right now, let's explain to the audience, I've seen this you-know-what show in person. And I will now paint a picture for you, because I don't even think I told you everything that happened on Saturday night with this team. First off, what I found very weird is, now, Seth, you've been in locker rooms before, a la NBA, a la
the NFL.
NFL and Major League Baseball, you would think that you would want to have the whole team together to build camaraderie. It doesn't matter if you're a rookie. It doesn't matter if you're a seasoned veteran. You want to build camaraderie and build a team together with togetherness. Correct? Am I right or wrong?
Sorry, I couldn't hear the last part of what you said, Randy.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
I'm sorry about that. So you would think that you'd want to build a team with camaraderie and unity by having, doesn't matter if you're a rookie or a veteran, you want everybody to be together. Am I right or wrong?
Of course.
Okay, now let's bring in the stupidity that is the New York Jets. Now, let's keep in mind that the Giants locker room at MetLife Stadium is on one side of the stadium, and the Jets are on a totally different side. So I'm rushing from the Giants locker room over to the Jets locker room. I'm sitting there. I think I almost put my thumb out to see if I can hitchhike through one of those little golf carts that go through the stadium. But let's take that and put that aside. I'm in the stadium, and I go from the Giants locker room, and I'm looking for the Jets locker room. And once I find the Jets locker room, I walk in, and the PR guy says to me, "Who did you want to talk to?" I said, "I was hoping to grab the Brickashaw Ferguson." "Oh, he's in the veteran locker room. You're in the rookie locker room right now." And I scratched my head, and I said, "What the hell is that about? Why is there a rookie locker room? You want to build a unity. You want your younger guys to grow. You want the veterans on your team to help the younger guys along. And you have a rookie locker room and a veteran locker room?" That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
You're not going to get much of an argument from me. This is a team. See, the thing is, the Giants have always had leadership from the owner down. Wellington Mara is one of the most respected owners in the NFL. Jerry Reese has put together two championships as a GM. Tom Coughlin has coached two teams to Super Bowl victories and was successful in Jacksonville. The structure was already there. They had leaders starting. They've always had leadership. It was Michael Strahan. You had Tiki Barber, but that never really panned out in that regard. And, they were able to overcome that. And they have Eli Manning, who is the leader. Now going forward, you have Justin Tuck. You have Antoine Roll. Manning is more of a leader by example. But you have also a Chris Smith. There's leadership. You have none. What leadership do you have with the Jets? The last one you really had was Kevin Bowie, who was a center several years ago. I mean, Damon Tomlinson said it was the worst locker room he'd ever been in. He was supposed to be the leader. Your best player, Darrell Revis, is constantly arguing about his contract. Of course, now he's in Tampa. You have no leadership. Woody Johnson is kind of a joke as an owner. You have no leadership in the management. You have no leadership in the coaching. You have no leadership in the players. What do you expect?
Well, the fact of the matter is the Jets are just one of those teams that we said before they can just as easily be 6-10 or, 2-12 or 2-14, and or can even come around and be 8-8. But it's highly unlikely. I don't even know if Rex Ryan's going to make it through the season. That's my honest opinion.
Oh, no, I think he will. Because what else are you going to do? You're going to appoint an interim manager for three games? That's not going to really have a realistic chance of keeping his job. I think if you're going to keep Ryan to start the year, you're going to finish the year with Ryan. But I see no, Ryan is a defensive coordinator. He is not a head coach. He has no offensive mind. He's a very good defensive coordinator, or he'll be a great analyst for Fox or for NBC or for whoever signs him. But, he has never been able to really get a firm grasp on the offensive side of the ball. They've never been able, as bad as Mark Sanchez has been, I really wonder if he ever really had a shot to succeed. They've never had much talent around him. The offense was never suited for him. I'm not trying to make excuses for him because he's been awful the last 2 years, to say the least. But I would not be surprised if after this year he goes in as a backup for 2 years and and has an opportunity for his career to rebuild a little bit and maybe have another shot to start down the line. The team is simply a mess, period.
I'm going to bring up this point, I'm not saying this is an official pass that I can give Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez has lost a lot of weapons through the years. He's lost guys he's had success with, Thomas Jones, Leon Washington. He had some early success with Braylon Edwards, and they cut him this year. They had Plaxico Burress. Antonio Holmes went down with injury. I don't think Sanchez has had any success with Holmes on the field with him. because you remember his first year with him, you know, they didn't make an AFC Championship game with San Antonio Holmes. So that's another point. But they took a lot of weapons away from Mark Sanchez, and I don't think they really had a good veteran that can coach him. Just like, you know, Kurt Warner was a mentor to Eli Manning his first year. You know, Brett Favre was the mentor.
I disagree with you. I agree. I actually disagree with you, and on almost all aspects of it. They, you know, the guys you mentioned, Leon Washington was not, you know, was a mediocre player at best. Thomas Jones was near the end of his career. You know, the wideouts, you know, Braylon Edwards had one or two decent years with the Jets, but he was certainly nothing special. They have had substandard weapons, to say the least. And your other point, which I just completely forgot. I'm sorry.
I'll respond really quick to what you just said about Leon Washington. It's not even the fact that they're not marquee players or even great players or even, you know, unbelievable players, but there was a camaraderie and there was a formula that worked. And the formula was not working with the guys that they brought in.
Well, yeah, but they had no talent. They had no talent to begin with. You know, I actually, Mr. Palmer, my co-host on the show, just walked in. Actually, I'm probably going to have him discuss it with you as well. Sean, I'm on with Randy on Randy's radio show, and we're talking Jets. And so I've defended Sanchez to a point because he's a 760 number. I'm having him call in now.
Okay.
And Randy's brought up that he's had some weapons. I think he's had none. And I think the offense has never really been suited for him. So Mr. Palmer will be calling in. So it's the Seth, Sean, and Randy show? I guess it'll be the Randy Seth.
I guess
Sean.
It is. I guess this is going to turn into the Seth and Sean and Randy for Friday Night Show. And so we welcome in the other co-host of the Seth and Sean show, which can be heard every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. on the Back Sports Fantasy Radio Network. Let's welcome in Mr. Sean Palmer. Sean, good evening. How are you, my friend?
Thanks, Randy. I appreciate the time. This is fantastic. The fact of the matter is that it should be the Sean and Seth Sports Radio show, but he's rolling his eyes. This is quite funny. But anyway, this is the Seth and Sean gangs up on Randy's Elias sports show, more than anything else.
But you're forgetting the most
Mark
important
Sanchez,
part about that is I can just as easily press a button and you'll disappear.
That's
Wait,
very
can
true.
I do that?
Seth does it all the time. Seth wrecks me all the time. Okay, so the question is, has Mark Sanchez ever had weapons? Yes, he has. He's had them. Have they been great weapons? Well, Santonio Holmes is a good weapon. Not a great weapon. He's a good weapon. Okay? When Mark Sanchez started out his first year, he had weapons at running back. He had weapons. I'm not saying they were great. Curtis Martin was coming down off his Hall of Fame career. That was the last year of Martin, was the first year of Sanchez. Again, Lamont Jordan was still there. I'm not saying these are great weapons, but they're pretty good weapons. No quarterback, no average quarterback, even with great weapons, does great. Now, Mark Sanchez had one thing that most average quarterbacks do not have. He had a first-rate defense back in the day. And granted, that's 5 years ago. He's Trent Dilfer. That's the way he is. You can win with a great defense and a good running game. Unfortunately, the Jets right now have a good defense, not a great defense, and zero running game. That's just the beginning, end, and middle of it. I mean, who were the wideouts on those Raven teams? Seth,
are you helping me?
I'm asking you. Who were the besides Jermaine Lewis, who happened to crush Seth's hopes?
Brendan Stokely.
Okay, so again, where's your top wide receiver? Is
Stokely
that it?
Was the third. I forget who the –
You can't – it was Derek Mason. You can't even name him.
Mason wasn't there.
Mason was after? So it was even before Mason. So, again, you can't name him.
I think it was Marcus Robinson.
Again, no, but that even makes my claim even more because Santonio Holmes is better than Marcus Roberts. So basically, if you have a great defense and you have a great running game, you can win with mediocre quarterback play. That's what the Jets have right now. Mediocre, if not less than good quarterback play. Randy, your thoughts?
Okay, I want to ask Sean the second question that we didn't get to cover that I brought up. Now, Sean, I also want to bring up a point about Mark Sanchez. Unlike guys like Eli Manning, who had a mentor his first couple of years, like he had Kurt Warner, Aaron Rodgers had Brett Favre. Mark Sanchez did not really have a veteran to work with.
Yeah, I disagree. This is what I'm going to stop you right there, Randy, because this is actually when Sean walked in. He had Mark Brunell, a very good
quarterback. Like I said, he did not have a good. I don't think so. I don't look at Brunell as a guy. What's the right way? What did Mark Brunell accomplish?
Brunell was a Pro Bowler at least 3 years. He's the all-time leading yardage passer in Jaguars history. That's not the Steve Gerline's the one for the Panthers. So it's not to say that's great. But the fact of the matter is, Mark Brunell. Let's go back a second, okay? Who was Troy Aikman's backup?
Steve Walsh.
Right. But who was his mentor? You have one. Yes, actually, he did. It was Jason Garrett.
Yeah,
but the fact of the matter is, you don't need a great quarterback to be your mentor. Who was Peyton Manning's mentor? Chris Chandler. Who was Steve McNair's mentor?
He shared space with him the first year. Was it Chandler?
It was Chris Chandler. What I'm saying is, the point is, just because you have a great mentor doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a great quarterback and vice versa. You can be a great quarterback, Eli Manning, with a Jason Garrett.
But
you can be a crappy quarterback with Steve the Birds mentored under Joe Montana.
In this situation, though, I think a guy like Mark needed a better mentor. In this situation, I think when Rex is gone, Mark
Randy,
is gone.
Let me ask you this. In any other draft, does Mark Sanchez go number 6 overall? Or 5
absolutely
overall?
Not.
Excuse me, 5. In
absolutely.
Any other draft?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so the fact is, Mark Sanchez should have probably, in a normal draft, gone 20 or 25. Those are the skills that Mark Sanchez brought to the table. He didn't have Jay Cutler's skills. He didn't have Jay Cutler's skills. He didn't even have Terry Collins' skills. Terry Collins had a gun for an arm. Mark Sanchez doesn't have that.
But he has much better hair.
If anything, he has Chad Pennington's skills, except he doesn't have the smarts of Chad Pennington. And Chad Pennington was drafted 10th overall. So take away the one great attribute that Chad Pennington had. Mark Sanchez doesn't have that, but they still share the same arm. And you have a 25th pick. 25 picks, not a bit. You don't have the expectations that Mark Sanchez does here. All right, I'm going to let you and Seth wrap it up. Thanks for having me.
No problem, Sean. Thanks for coming on.
See, now you see the fun that I have with hosting Sean for those listening. Because I play the host, and he talks for 4 minutes, and I laugh at him as I get the finger right now. But his point, you know, I disagree with you. Brunell, I think, was a perfectly fine mentor. You know, he started his career as a backup. He became a very good starter in Jacksonville. And then, you know, although he's now broke, which is a shame, but not, you know, one of 2 zillion other football players who are broke. I disagree with you that I don't know if Sanchez was looking for a mentor. I don't know, but I would assume so.
The other quarterback that he really was picked, they passed on Josh Freeman and everybody.
Really? Well, Freeman was like 18.
Yeah. But I'm looking up and down that draft board right now. I don't really see any other real quarterbacks. That was not a good quarterback year. You know, Stephen McGee from Texas A&M.
Sure, he's with the Cowboys.
Yeah, but still, you know.
Yeah, it was a weak year.
Really
needed a quarterback.
You know, Rhett Boomer, Sam Houston State, Nate Davis.
All right, you can stop.
Yeah,
the Jets needed a quarterback, and they didn't give up a heck of a lot.
So moving forward on this, I would have loved to hear Sean's take on the locker room situation with the split up locker room. That would have been very interesting.
Maybe we'll broach it in our NFL preview this week. We'll talk about it a little bit.
We'll definitely talk about it. Now let's move over to the Giants real quick. I know you have to go. You have to some things you have to take care of. What a weird week it was for the New York Giants. You lose Stevie Brown on Saturday night against the Jets, torn ACL. And then you lose Andre Brown yesterday, reportedly missing 4 to 6 weeks. And they said that the Giants are going to be hitting the waiver wire tomorrow to see who's going to be available. I think there's three very good choices available right now just on the free agent market. In Michael Turner, and Brandon Jacobs, and Tim Hightower. Your opinion on those options for the New York Giants?
Well, first, the Giants aren't going to pick up anybody until after the 53-man rosters come out on Monday. What will Brown do for you? Well, Brown's not doing too well for the Giants right now. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. But the Giants do need some secondary help desperately with Stevie Brown out with the first season. With Andre out for 4 to 6 weeks, you can look at Brandon Jacobs. I'm sure he would be thrilled to come back for a couple weeks or come back, obviously, would come back, period. But you have to see who gets dropped. Does a Robert Turbin get dropped in Seattle because of the emergence of Christian Michael? Does a Roy Huru get dropped in Washington? I mean, there's a bunch of people that you can look at and say, I'm getting a golf clap from Mr. Palmer for that. I think you wait and you see what's out there. Would Michael Turner be a fit? Well, not particularly. I mean, I don't know what Michael Turner has left. Brandon Jacobs hasn't played much in the last 2 years, so who knows? And Tim, that's what I was saying. Yeah, he is fresh. I think I'm kind of making this a little bit more long-winded than I need to. They need to see who gets dropped in free agency. And then you work accordingly. And you go from there.
Yeah, I know. I agree with that aspect of it. You can definitely take that route. You can definitely take that route and just see what's going to be available. And they have.
Hello?
I think the 53 man roster is available starting tomorrow. The 53 man, the roster gets cut down tomorrow, from what I understand. So you'll have to see what happens at that point. Now the Giants again are in a tough situation. We lost Seth Kamens. The Giants are in a real tough situation now. I'm not buying into it. After seeing them play, they looked awful for the last couple weeks. The Giants look like they're just an anemic offensive team. This is the team that they look like over the last few weeks has been the team that showed up in April. Not April, I'm sorry. They showed up in December against the Falcons and the Ravens. And they looked disastrous during those games. They needed help after they beat the Eagles and to get help from the Lions. They needed help from a bunch of different teams to get in, and it failed immediately. The Giants had their own destiny in their hands last season, and they lost it. 760-283-0846. 760-283-0846. Another point with the New York Giants that a lot of people are not bringing up, The timing of Ruben Randall, Hakeem Nicks, and Victor Cruz has been very, very, very off. And I don't want to attack Victor Cruz. I think Victor Cruz might be one of the best wide receivers, second, slot receivers in the NFL. But the Giants had the most success when they had Victor Cruz in the third receiver spot. Mario Manningham was in the two spot. Hakeem Nicks was in the one spot. The trio was very dangerous. Now, obviously, Mario Manningham is out in San Francisco, out for the year this year with injuries.
It's a shame that that has happened, but it did happen. But they moved Victor Cruz to the two spot, and he's just not been the same. And it's not good. Victor Cruz has become a victim of the system. I think there's a lot of guys in this league who can do what Victor Cruz does. And that's a problem. Victor Cruz is a great attribute, good player. I think that he brings a lot to the table. You know what, let's ask the hosts of Monday Morning Hangover, that's Max Sports Page's exclusive fantasy football show. Let's bring in Anthony Mulleville. Anthony, how are you, buddy?
Good, Randy. Thanks for having me. What's going on?
No problem. And is your partner in crime with you, too?
Yeah, we're actually, we're both in the car. We're on speaker. We're not breaking any laws to bring this info to you. So he's actually sitting right next to me. So
I'll be here, Randy. How you doing?
Hey, guys, it's good to have you on. Thanks for coming on. This is a good little cross-promotion for you guys, too. You guys can hear Monday Morning Hangover, ironically enough, on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. The best fantasy football show in the business, in my eyes. And, guys, I want to jump into some of the things that we were talking about before we talk fantasy football. I want to talk about some of the topics we were discussing about the Jets and the Giants. Wanted to throw this at you guys and see what you thought. I've been... After being behind the scenes at the Meadowlands this past week on Saturday night for the Jets-Giants game and seeing what was going on behind the scenes, I think the Jets, they should sell tickets for the Jets just to watch the off-the-season stuff because it's the off-the-field antics because it's that funny. I don't know if you heard my report from earlier in the day, but there is two separate locker rooms, one for rookies and one for veterans for the New York Jets. And I wanted to get your take if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, I mean, obviously it's a bad thing. I think that, you know, with you saying now behind the scenes, it makes a lot of sense. But just seeing how the Jets operate in the media and things like that, it always has seen, at least since Rex has gotten there, that Woody Johnson's far more worried about headlines than actually putting a good product on the field. The Giants are more of a low-key organization. You know, they're worried about winning. And, you know, I think it seems now, for maybe a season or two, that Rex has been overmatched as the head coach, basically a defensive coordinator trying to be a head coach. And, you know, I'm sure that you caught that press conference he did the other day after putting Mark Sanchez in the fourth quarter behind the backup offensive line. He just looks like a guy that knows he's lost control of the team. He looks like, you know, a puppy that's recently been neutered. So, you know, it's like I said, when you're reporting on it, it doesn't really surprise me.
That might have been the greatest analogy I've ever heard ever about that situation. And that Rex Ryan looks like a dog who's gotten neutered. I think that's...
I mean,
it's accurate. I think it's brilliant.
I'm just saying... What is this, Rex's fifth year? When he came, he was brash. He was, you know, talking crap all over the place. And where has that Rex gone? He looks like a guy that was told just to keep quiet and, you know, not make any big statements. Where the Super Bowl guarantees gone and stuff like that? I mean, either he's learned his lesson or John Hinsdick has told him not to do anything like this. I think Rex is basically a lame duck coach. I think him and Sanchez will both be gone together after the season.
And I'll also throw this at you. We had Seth and Sean both on earlier today, and Anthony has filled in for Sean a couple of weeks ago. And I want to also get your view on something else with the New York Jets, and that is the Mark Sanchez situation. I'm giving him a little bit of sympathy right now for the fact he really doesn't have a lot of weapons. It's hard to be successful when going into a gunfight with a knife, pretty much. And you know, the other part of that is also, I don't think compared to other very good quarterbacks in the league. Listen, Tom Brady played under Drew Bledsoe. Eli Manning was under Kurt Warner for a year. Aaron Rodgers was under Brett Favre. They said, you know, they said Mark Brunell was his mentor, but I still think there could have been a better mentor than Mark Brunell that could have used for Mark Sanchez. Right now, Mark Sanchez is playing with no confidence. He's playing like there's a piano over his head waiting to fall on top of him. Gentlemen, I need to hear your take on Mark Sanchez.
I think the biggest deal is, you know, you made a good point with the mentors. I forget what you said exactly. I know it's Eli and Kurt Warner, Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe, and Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, I believe you said. But I think the biggest thing is the coaches. I mean, Tom Brady has played under one coach his entire career. Eli Manning has played under one coach his entire career. And Mark Sanchez, he gets drafted by Mancini, I believe. But, you know, for almost his entire career, like I said, he's been playing under Rex Ryan, who is the defensive coordinator. There's an obvious disconnect between the head coach and the quarterback in New York. I don't think I'm curious saying with sympathy for Sanchez. But the bottom line is, heard that he's not the hardest worker. Being the starting quarterback, you have to be the hardest working guy on the team. You know, I don't know if he has he has the physical tools. You know, I don't know if he has the work ethic to be a great starting quarterback. I mean, I think great starting quarterbacks make their weapons. How many times has Tom Brady gone into a season and you say, oh, who's he going to throw the ball to? You know, what wide receiver or tight end has left Eli Manning and become better after they have left Eli Manning? So, you know, I think it goes both ways. I understand what you're saying, Mark Sanchez not having weapons. But, I mean, he did play behind the number one rush offense in the Signals year with Thomas Jones. And, you know, I'm not very distinguishing between years, but I believe the guy is Javon Jordan that year. But, you know, he had the number one offensive one game in the league, and he obviously played behind a great offensive line, so I think he has had the pull in his career. I think the biggest thing is the work ethic there.
I can't argue that. Now, gents, let's move over to the other side of the stadium. Let's move over to the New York Football Giants. And I have been very, very, very tough on the Giants this offseason. I've been a little tougher than normal. You lose a guy who was the emotional leader on that team in Amon Bradshaw, who's now playing in Indianapolis, which, by the way, I think is a steal fantasy-wise for Indianapolis because he's going to be taking the majority of the carries there. But I think you lose your emotional leader. The offense has looked very, very bad. The offense has looked like it did against Atlanta and Baltimore those last couple games of the season. And I don't think that Victor Cruz warrants the contract that he received and feels that he deserves. Because I do think there's a lot of guys in this league who can do what Victor does. And I felt he had more success when he was the third option behind Hakeem Nicks and Mario Manningham. I wanted to hear your take, both of your takes, on the New York Football Giants.
I understand what you're saying. It's hard to give Victor Cruz that much money when he's basically a slot guy. I mean, he might be the best slot guy in the league, but he's not a guy that goes on the outside, can win the one-on-one physical matchup. But I really think that the offense has looked at it, think this preseason, because Cruz has not been there. I think he's Eli's safety guy, you know. And as far as, you know, losing Bradshaw, the emotional leader or and whatnot, the Giants were in a tough situation this offseason. You know, they're right up against the cap, which almost every team in the NFL that has a franchise quarterback that's making $20 million a year is. I mean, when you put, you know, 20% of your cap towards one player, that's going to happen. I believe they have a lot of cap coming off this year, so we'll see what they do in the offseason this year. But, you know, I think that division is wide open. I'm not ready to kill them yet. They haven't had the best offseason ever, but, you know, there have been years before where the Giants have just plugged holes with veteran guys that get the job done, and, you know, that's basically what they're hoping for, whether it's the linebacking core or the offensive line. They're hoping that they can get 1 year out of these guys, and so they have some cap room.
I think it's actually weird that you guys say that. I thought Victor Cruz, especially given his production over the past 2 years, he's underpaid, if anything, if you compare him to what the other receivers in the league are making. I don't necessarily think he deserves more. I mean, he clearly does, and he made it well known publicly right after he signed his contract, which is whatever. Don't sign the contract if you're not happy with it. But especially for a team like the Giants, who don't like to spend a lot of money on guys like this. You know, they go year to year. Jeremy Shockey, they get rid of him. He was a semi-superstar for the time he was there. He leaves. Tiki Barber goes. They fill the hole with Brandon Jacobs. Jacobs wants money. They let him go. Fill with Bradshaw. And now they do the same thing with Bradshaw. They bring in a guy, Andre Brown, who was successful last year, who's been cut. How many times in his career? I count the number of times. You can't even keep track anymore. So for Victor Cruz to only get that much money, you guys say it was overpaid. I think it was a fair signing. We all know Nix is the more talented wide receiver, and he's the one that they wanted to lock up longer, and that's why they reached out to him first in order to sign a longer contract. But the Giants know what they're doing. Remember 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl, I remember all the preseason talk was, what the hell are they thinking? They're letting all these guys go. They haven't signed anybody. Their defense looks awful. And then what do? They go ahead and win the Super Bowl. So we can knock on them all we want, but they're a winning franchise. They've been stable for the past 6 years. They're going to be successful, especially when we're comparing. You know, we just talked about the Jets. So how can you make fun of what they're doing or say what they're doing is wrong after what we just spoke about?
Okay, I'm going to throw two giant questions at you guys, and then we'll shift over real quick. One, with the injury to Andre Brown, do the Giants wait for the waiver wire, or do they go after one of three guys that are onside, Hightower, Jacobs, or Turner?
I don't know if you saw the report earlier today. It looks like it was only a small fracture, so he's only going to be out for a few weeks. We've been following up on this because, you know, it's huge for fantasy purposes if he is going to miss time. David Wilson would shoot up the ranks. So if he's only out, you know, at the most 6 weeks, it's really not a big deal. They do have Darrell Scott has looked promising. You know, I think he could fill in just for the time being, especially in the beginning of the year. There's a ton of guys who are still available through free agency or onside running backs. Cedric Benson, even though he said he's pretty much in retirement mode earlier today, but, you know, just the fact that people are reaching out to him shows that maybe the Giants, among other teams, might have interest. Michael Turner is also unsigned. Who else? Yeah, I know we have there's a few running backs who have had successful careers who are still out there.
Yeah, I mean, I know people wanted to say, okay, Andre Brown, let's go sign Willis McGahee or Michael Turner or something like that. But being a Giants fan for many years, I think the Giants are going to do the thing that they normally do. They'll look at the waiver wire. If something makes sense, both cost and team-wise, they'll pick somebody up. If not, they'll be patient. Let David Wilson carry the load until Andre Brown gets back.
Okay, and a second question about the New York Giants. At this point, do we consider them the favorite in the NFC East, or does that still fall into the Washington Redskins?
I may be a little biased. I think the Giants should probably be the favorite in the NFC East. I don't think it's a talent division. It's not a great division. It doesn't have a great team in it. I think the Cowboys, Redskins, and Giants can all win that division. I just think the Giants have the least amount of question marks. I mean, the big question mark with the Redskins is obviously RG3's health. Can he play 16 games? And if he doesn't play all 16 games, can Kirk Cousins come in and basically be a winning quarterback? The Redskins have some minor issues on defense, especially in the defensive backfield, but we'll see how that plays out. The Cowboys, I've read a lot of preseason reports that love the Cowboys this year. I personally I don't see it. I mean, I think trust me, as a Giants fan, just killed me to say this. I think Tony Romo is vastly, vastly underrated. Great quarterback. He makes plays. You know, he's not always got the best option, the best weapons. I know he has Fez, who's maybe the most talented wide receiver besides Calvin Johnson in the league. But Fez is constantly mixed up. He's inconsistent. He's very immature. Miles Alton is mixed up. You know, Jacob Wilson is really his go-to offensive weapon. And they haven't always had the strong running game. But what really bothers me about the Cowboys this year is the defense. They switched to a 4-3.
and are going to Tampa 2. And for those who don't know, in the Tampa 2, it caused call for safety to really cover the cornerbacks. And I think, you know, Morris Claiborne and Brandon Carr are a good set of cornerbacks, but their safety is really, really weak. And I think in the division with Mark III and Eli Manning, I think that defense might get sparked, especially in divisional games.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider the Giants the odds-on favorite. I wouldn't be surprised if they won also. But, you know, every year this happens, we see a team go from worst to first. And I really wouldn't be surprised if Philly was the team to do that this year. They don't really – obviously very talented. They're obviously very talented. They had a bunch of – they have a big carryover from last year. They really didn't lose much. But they're a veteran team now. If they can stay healthy – obviously a big factor, but you can say that about any team. You know, there's ready. The Giants players are ready. They already lost Stevie Brown and Austin Brown in the preseason. Dallas, if they lose anyone on offense, Miles Austin, Brian, DeMarco Murray, all these guys are injury prone. And then you go to Washington and RG3, Arakpo was hurt last year. You know, any team is capable of falling behind in the kind of a middle of the pack division. Everyone's pretty fairly even. It's one of those. Anyone can win. Chip Kelly's offense, we don't know what he's going to bring to the NFL. It could bomb miserably, or it could be extremely successful. So it's kind of like the Wildcat offense, where teams don't know what to make of it right away. And it might work for the time being. You know, until someone at least figures it out. But so we'll see. I still like the Cowboys to win this division. You know, same with John here. I'm a little biased on the other end. Just want the Giants to lose. But it's going to be close. I think the Cowboys by about a game.
Gentlemen, talk to me about Monday Morning Hangover. Tell my audience here what you guys do and how you guys do it.
Well, you know, and we started our podcast a couple of months ago at the best possible time. Fantasy football starts when the season starts next Thursday. We're extremely excited. Our show is just fantasy football. That's it. It's turned into one of the more. Not that the NFL needed it, but it's turned the NFL into the most by far the most popular sport on the planet. More than 35 million people played fantasy football last year, whether for money, for free, and it just keeps getting bigger. Now they have daily leagues, seasonal leagues. You can find a fantasy league not just for football, but just for anything. It's becoming one of the more popular sports out there. So I hope. Actually, if we have people listening in who've never tried fantasy, you know, even if you we'd love for you to listen in next week. If you have any questions, just let us know. It's always good. It's great for beginners. It makes every football game interesting, as if it wasn't interesting to begin with. So anyway, that's what our show is about, just strictly fantasy football. Randy, do you have any specific questions regarding fantasy?
Oh, for me, I'm not the diehard fantasy football guy. You know, I'm the NBA guy. So for me, if you have someone who's a casual fantasy football player, and they had let's say the fourth pick in the draft, and it is like a round robin type of draft, what do you recommend to go after first?
All right. Well, in pretty much every league, there's different types of leagues. There's leagues where you get points for catches. There's leagues where it's you just get rushing yards, just touchdown leagues. What we like to focus on, because I think it's the most entertaining and the most strategic, is PPR leagues, which is what we like to call point per reception leagues, where you get points for every catch that both running backs, tight ends, and wide receivers have. So consensus is pretty, no matter what format you're playing in, Adrian Peterson's the number one pick. It's hard to argue that. I had a monster year last year, so let's just put him aside. Anywhere from 2 to about 7, there's just a clutter of running backs who you pretty much can't decide on. It's splitting hairs whether, you know, between who you like. It's kind of personal preference. The five guys, Jamal Charles, Ray Rice,
LeSean McCoy,
Doug Martin,
Arian Foster, and T.J. Spiller.
There you go. I think we named 6 there.
Yeah.
Those are the types of guys you want. There's concerns with every single one of them. Adrian Peterson is the only one who you'd have no issues with. With all six of those guys, there's something wrong, whether it's injury history, offensive line problems, never had this workload before.
Good backup that might eat into the production. That's what makes fantasy football so great. It's, you know, it's more about strategy than anything else. But to get back to your original question, if we're going to go with the PPR league and Ray Rice is there with the fourth pick, I would go with Ray Rice, the guy who catches 70 balls a year. You know, he's a featured back. He has a proven track record. I don't know how you feel, Ann, but
yeah,
I would go with Ray Rice.
He never gets hurt. Personally, I have Doug Martin at number two. I've seen him fall. I've actually got him in a league where I had the number seven pick, and like I said, you know, that's not too surprising. This stuff is going to happen. These guys are going to fall because, you know, it's just up to personal preference right now. Just the thing you have to remember when playing fantasy football, every decision you make, you just have to ask yourself whether this gives you the best chance to win. So just you weigh all the positives, you weigh all the negatives, and you do your best in order to make the best selection. In the end, you know, me and John study fantasy football all day. We live, eat, and breathe fantasy football for the past 2 months. But bottom line, we can't predict the future. So, you know, I have my friends asking me who you would take at number four. They have the fourth pick. Who would you take? I can give you my opinion, but I can't necessarily promise you it's going to work out. So, in the end, you're going to have to live with this team throughout the whole season. You're the one who's going to have to watch and follow them. Just take the guy who you want. Make your own rankings. Base it off our guidelines, our advice, and everyone else's as well. And just have fun with it. I mean, obviously you want to win the league, but it's just something to do, and it just makes the best game on the planet more entertaining.
You're listening to the cast and crew of Monday Morning Hangover exclusively here on Back Sports Page Radio. Real Sports Talk Radio, 760-283-0846. Gentlemen, I also understand that Anthony and I were talking about this. I believe you guys have a giveaway this upcoming week. Is this correct?
Yeah, we actually, and I'm really excited about this. Matthew Berry, who's my idol for more reasons than one, he attended Syracuse University, who's actually the college basketball team that I follow. But you know, everyone knows him as the head senior analyst of fantasy sports at ESPN, which is, you know, the job that anyone who follows fantasy sports and watches fantasy sports, you know, this is what we strive for. So it's extremely exciting. He did come out with a book. I think it was released in the middle of July. It's been a New York Times bestseller for the past few weeks. Even if you haven't played fantasy or don't enjoy fantasy, there's stories in there that'll catch your attention. It's pretty interesting, just the extremes that fantasy players will go to in order to, you know, make their leagues better, or, you know, certain bets that were made. People have tattoos that are gonna last forever. The types of trophies that teams make, just the camaraderie that fantasy presents. You know, it just creates friendship. It makes friendship. It just enhances the experience, and it's pretty cool. So this is the type of book it took him about 2 years to write. He gathered stories through Twitter, Facebook, any means possible in order to put this book together, just to, you know, just kind of to summarize the benefits of fantasy and how fantasy actually, you know, carved the path to his life, and how he eventually met his wife, you know, through the path of following fantasy sports. So it's extremely interesting. We do have a copy to give away. We will be giving away next week, Thursday night, on our Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football podcast, starting at 7 p.m. right before the start of the NFL season, which would be 8:30 on Thursday night. So tune in if you want to win that. We'll let you know on the day of the show how you could win the book. And like I said, it was extremely. Both of us read it right as soon as it came out. We couldn't put it down. And there you go. I endorse it fully. So, if you want to win that, listen in on.
I can't win
that,
right?
You can't win. I'll let you borrow my copy. Like I said, I'm already
okay.
Done.
I'll take it to the store and photocopy the whole book. Actually, maybe I'll get it on digital and download. No, that's an awesome giveaway. I'm glad that you guys are going to be able to do that. And also, you know, we're going to help you guys get some more interesting guests to talk fantasy football. I know, Anthony, I know what we're talking about. We're working on a couple big names to come on and do some fun things with you guys. But with that being said, every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on the Back Sports Page Radio Network, Monday Morning Hangover. some great things going on. And also, from what I'm also understanding, Anthony, you and John are going to be contributing pieces also, fantasy football updates on backsportspage.com as well, correct?
Right, that's correct. We'll post the links to our Facebook page. We'll put that out there on backsports.com as well, backsportspage.com as well. You know, throughout the year, we're just going to put out columns, waiver wire pickups on Tuesday nights, which is the big thing. That's how you, that can make or break your league. I do have my fantasy football preview up right now if you guys want to go check it out. It has a few of my sleepers, which already needs to be updated due to injuries and my lack of knowledge, you know, a combination of both. So go check it out. Just use that as a guideline, like I said. Create your own rankings. Make sure you come prepared to your draft. This is the last weekend to draft for draft before the season starts. So it's not only the most popular, but it's the best time to do it just because we have the most knowledge. We know about all the injuries, well, up until what happens on Thursday. So enjoy your draft this week. Show up with your own rankings. We actually had a draft last weekend where a guy drafted, he took Dustin Keller, and I was in a draft a couple of days before that where someone took Brandon Lloyd. So don't be that guy, all right? Just follow up. Brandon Lloyd's still not on the team. Dustin Keller is out for the year on a controversial base, off of a controversial tackle. So,
and wasn't good before that tackle.
No, shouldn't even be drafted if he's healthy. I mean, if you want to show up and try to make the rest of the league last, be my guest. I can write a list of players you could take. Aaron Hernandez. Go ahead, draft Aaron Hernandez. He's trying to be funny. But other than that, if you want to win your league, you know, follow our Facebook page. Like I said, like you said, Randy, I appreciate it. We will be coming up with updates throughout the season. Hopefully, have a few articles per week, and that's the best way to keep up. Follow up, because, like I said, fantasy football. You want to have fun. In the end, it's all about fun, and nothing's more fun than actually winning your league. So there you go.
All right, guys, thanks very much. I'm against the clock here. Appreciate you guys coming on. And check out Monday Morning Hangover every Thursday night, 8 p.m. on the Max Sports Page Radio
Andy,
Network.
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. Let me just make a quick note. As of next week, we will be starting at 7 p.m. as opposed to our normal time of 8, just to get it over with before the Thursday night game starts at 8:30.
You got it. So, and that's going to be throughout the regular season because there are Thursday night games, correct?
Right.
Okay. All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much. We'll be listening.
Thanks, Randy.
All right, guys. That was the cast of that was John and Anthony from Monday Morning Hangover, and this portion of Real Sports Talk Radio is brought to you by Upbeat Custom Creations. Do you need hats, shirts, pens, or any other promotional products? Call Mike at Upbeat. And he'll make your name stick out of the crowd and bring fame to your name. Visit them at upbeatcustomcreations.net or call Mike at 561-252-9814. That's Upbeat Custom Creations. They bring fame to your name. Let's bring in the host of Sunday's show here at Back Sports Page, Beyond the Bench, Mr. Ryan Stern. Ryan, good evening, my friend.
Good evening, Randy. How's everything going?
I appreciate you hanging in there. That was a very, very long wait time. I hope you enjoyed hearing from our fantasy football guys here at the over here at BSP. And I say to you, Mr. Stern, good evening.
Yeah, it is a good evening because one, we have college football really getting into its opening weekend tomorrow, and then we have NFL football. We have the pennant races in baseball, although pretty much most of the divisions have already been decided. You still have a couple that are up for grabs. But, yeah, the next 2 months are probably the best 2 months that a sports fan can ask for.
I believe so. I think beginning of October is really, really fun for me because you have the tail end of baseball. You have football in full gear. You have the NHL starting up. And, of course, most importantly, the NBA will be going. We've been talking about the Jets and the Giants. I knew I was going to get a snicker from you on that. I wanted to get your view. You know, we've been talking about the Jets and the Giants situation, but I haven't talked much about what's also going on in the NFL. Tim Tebow has an opportunity to make the team here with the New England Patriots. We'll know tomorrow by 5 p.m. whether Tebow makes it or not. Ryan, you host the show here on Sunday nights. What are the things that you're looking for as far as the big stories heading into the NFL season?
Well, the first story that I am really concentrating on is going to be the NFC West, because I think that the two teams at the top of the NFC West are probably the two best teams in the entire NFL, with the Seahawks and the 49ers. They're the two best defenses in the NFL. They have two of the most captivating young quarterbacks in the NFL. Every move that each team made during the offseason, the other team countered it with a very similar move. So I think the storyline of the NFC West is one of my big ones. And my big AFC is actually going to be with the Cincinnati Bengals, based on how they come out of the season with all the, I guess, hype surrounding the Hard Knocks. And they were my preseason pick to win the AFC North. And in fact, this Sunday I have my AFC North and my NFC South previews. They're the final two divisions that I will be giving all of my picks for. But sneak peek, Cincinnati Bengals are at the top of the AFC North.
I'll be honest with you, Ryan. I'm looking forward to a football season where I think the focus is going to be on the field. There's not a lot of off-season shenanigans right now that we know of to start the season. They just settled the lawsuit with the concussions with the former NFL players. I think that right now we're at a point, and I'm going to go into a little bit more with the Giants with you from the Giants standpoint from the game on Saturday night, from behind the scenes, and I'll ask your opinion. I'll ask your opinion the same way I asked Seth's opinion earlier in the show. And I'll ask your opinion now. The Giants seem to have a pretty well-together group, and they seem to be very unified, ready to go for a run. Hopefully they can be one of the first teams to host the Super Bowl and be playing in it. Now, the Jets, on the other hand, have two separate locker rooms. They have a visiting. They have a veterans locker room and a rookie locker room. I wanted to get your opinion on that.
Well, I think it's a typical Rex Ryan move, where it's going to be something that's going to draw even more attention to the team. It's either Rex Ryan or Woody. Any type of publicity is good publicity, even if it's bad publicity. I'm not surprised. It's not something that I would ever expect from the other side, because I think if there's one thing that Tom Coughlin will preach is the teamwork, working together, building bridges, as his slogan was last year. I mean, Tom Coughlin has a team building night out, and they went bowling. Now imagine this: you're the owner of a bowling alley in New Jersey, and you see 93 football players come walking into your bowling alley. How many size 16 shoes do you think a bowling alley is going to have?
I also think when that happened, When those types of things happened, they obviously closed down the lanes. Like, they know ahead of time that the Giants are coming. So they'll close down the lanes. I think that's a fair move to do. Now, the other part of the evening that I felt very, very intrigued with as far as the Giants were concerned, and let's go on the field. The offense, and I don't know, not as much last night, but the offense looked like it was really, really, really stutter-stepping and really, really, really struggling. They don't really look like they're on the same page. And Ruben Randall even said it to me in the locker room. They need to work on their timing. as a Giant, so let's go with you as a Giant fan. Are you concerned that this team it may be more of a more bark than bite?
I am not concerned with the skilled position players. I think they're going to be just fine. I think Eli is one of the top five or six quarterbacks in the league. I think that the combination of Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nicks when healthy, and that's a big if they are both healthy, are one of the top five wide receiver pairs in the NFL. I think David Wilson has as much upside as any running back in the NFL. I think the biggest issue this year is going to be the offensive line. The only player that started all four preseason games for the Giants on the offensive line was Will Beatty at left tackle. They are trying to work in Justin Pugh at right tackle, the rookie out of Syracuse. David Deal is battling an injury. David Boss is battling an injury. So when a team normally carries on a given Sunday 7 to 8 offensive linemen, so you're looking at two to three backup offensive linemen to fill in for plays at any given point during a game. So now you're asking either players that are typically on the bench or on the practice squad to give important downs. I think that James Brewer has shown that he's not ready. I think Brandon Mosley has shown that he is not ready. And in order for the Giants to be successful, it's going to have to be with the five guys that are supposed to be there. Beattie at left tackle, Deal at left guard, Boss at center, Snee at right guard, and Justin Pugh at right tackle. If those five can stay healthy and be consistent throughout the year, I think the Giants will be just fine.
What about the situation with Jim Cordell? Do you think he'll be making it long through the season this year, or do you think it's a temporary fix until other people come back?
I think Cordell has actually played his way onto the team because of the failures that other guys have shown, your Brewers, your Mosleys. Cordell, the big plus that he gives you is versatility. Jim Cordell can play pretty much three or four positions on that offensive line. And it's something that not many players can do. So I think his versatility is going to allow him to stay on the team as an active player every Sunday. But I think if you ask any of the Giants coaches, if Jim Cordell is playing important minutes, it's going to be a tough season, just because I don't think he's at the level that you would want a starting offensive lineman to be at as of right now.
What about the running back situation? You heard me talk about it with the guys from Monday Morning Hangover. Seth and Sean gave their 2 cents. I'd like to hear from you. What do they do about the situation now with Andre Brown?
My immediate reaction was Michael Turner. But then the report came out today that it's looking to be a 4 to 6 week injury, which means Brown will probably end up on the PUP list, give him the 6 weeks to recover, and allow either Darrell Scott or Michael Cox and Ryan Terrain to fill in some of the snaps that Andre Brown was going to get. But I do think that this is going to mean an even more increased workload for David Wilson. I think Coughlin is I think he's comfortable with the way that David Wilson has played in camp and in the preseason games on giving him the full workload. Now, that for those first 1 or 2 weeks are going to be very telling because David Wilson hasn't been a guy who has gotten the full workload on a multiple-week basis, and he hasn't yet in the preseason. You haven't seen David Wilson get 15 to 20 carries in preseason yet, just because nobody gets 15 to 20 carries unless you're a guy who's battling for a spot. As of right now, I think that they don't make a move only because of their limited cap space. They would have to cut somebody in order to bring in a guy like a McGahee, a Turner, or a Jacobs, even though I think Jacobs would be the cheapest. He would also fit more of the scheme if you're looking to get David Wilson the majority of the carries. Brandon Jacobs will be able to come in and give you 3 to 5 carries a game, whether it be on the goal line or a 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1 situation. I think if there is a move, that's going to be the one that you see. I think it'll be Jacobs rather than committing a full season to Turner or McGahee.
Man, wouldn't it be great to see Michael Turner in a Giants uniform?
Like I said, when the injury first happened, that was the first name that came to my mind.
I texted you that.
Yep. You actually texted me Brandon Jacobs, and I texted you Michael Turner.
Only
because I think that Michael Turner, what he gave the Atlanta Falcons is what the Giants were asking Andre Brown to do. The Atlanta Falcons were also asking Michael Turner to give them what David Wilson was doing. And that's why Michael Turner looked to have a very down year. I think they were relying on him a bit too much. If Michael Turner were to come in, if Andre Brown, say, were to be out the year, I think Michael Turner would be able to give exactly the role that Andre Brown would have been able to give the Giants.
In your eyes, give me a number here. Giants record this upcoming season.
I have the Giants going 11-5. The only reason why I have them going 11-5 being that high a number is the strength of schedule. Over the past couple years, the Giants have always had the hardest schedule in the league compared to last year's records, and the Giants have always had killer second halves of the year. That's different this year. The Giants have, I think, the second easiest schedule in the entire NFL when it comes to teams' records from last year. Now, I know that's not the only way you want to look at it, but if you're gauging upon the closest numbers that you have, it really looks good for the Giants. If you think about the teams that they have to play in the AFC, they get the Broncos at home, and the Broncos are a much different team away than they are at home, and they also get the Broncos without Von Miller. Now, I know it's Peyton Manning, and Manning can put up all those points, but the Broncos' defense looks lousy. Champ Bailey isn't going to play week one. Von Miller's out 6 weeks. And you always have Joe Flacco's favorite target, Raheem Moore, still playing for the Denver Broncos.
It's true. Okay. And what about the rest of the NFC East?
I think that the Cowboys finished second. The Redskins finished third. Cowboys 9-7. Redskins 8-8. I think the Eagles are the most difficult team in the NFL to predict because no one knows
what Chip Kelly's system is going to be, what it's going to look like over a 16-game span, and that defense is putrid. So they may be able to put up 30 points a game, but their defense may give up 40.
I say don't sleep on the Eagles. The Eagles could be a surprise team. Dude, listen, they were an injury-plagued team last year. And I think that's sort of forgotten, that they were an injury-plagued team last year. They had a lot of problems. A new coach, some different characters. I don't really like saying characters. You know, there's some different people involved there. This could be a very surprising team.
Like I said, they're the most difficult team to predict. The one thing that I want to tell you is how many guys who have been strictly college coaches their entire career have come into the NFL and been successful right away. There haven't been many. Chip Kelly has never been an NFL guy. He's always been a college guy. So that may help. That may hurt because of the system that really has never been seen in the NFL. I mean, Chip Kelly has said that time of possession is of absolutely no importance to him, which means he may have his offense on the field for 20, 25 minutes a game, which gives his defense 35 to 40 minutes a game, and that defense is not good. I'm sorry, but one of their big things you said was their injuries from last year. The guys that were injured got cut. They're no longer with the team. You have Mike Patterson, who's now with the Giants. You have Colin Jenkins, who's now with the Giants. You have Nnamdi Asamoah, who is now out west with San Francisco.
Which is a great pickup by the 49ers, by the way.
Oh, yeah, it's a great pickup, even though it's a great pickup only because he's not going to be asked to be the Asamoah that the Eagles were expecting from the Raiders. He's coming into a very stout defense. He's coming into a defense where there are plenty of stars around him, and he doesn't have to be the face of the defense. So I think that will allow him to just be more comfortable in the situation surrounding him. Remember, they don't have Asante Samuel anymore. They have probably the worst group of defensive backs I've ever seen in the NFL, and that's coming with the Raiders and Jaguars. Like I said, they may score 30 points a game, but I can very easily see them giving up 30 to 40 and it being a tough year. I can see them winning 5-6 games. I just don't see them being a playoff contender.
And, of course, everyone's favorite team, the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, the Cowboys, I think, are going to battle for one of the playoff spots. I think I know they play the game on the field, not on paper, but you're certainly thinking that one of the NFC West teams are going to take one of the wild card spots, because you're expecting both the 49ers and the Seahawks to make the playoffs. So now that leaves one more wild card spot for the entire NFC. I think the Cowboys can do it, can battle for one of those spots. I do think that Tony Romo does get it kills me to say this because I hate the Cowboys, but I think Tony Romo gets a bad rap. The dude's a good quarterback. He puts up numbers. He just doesn't have that clutch factor that you see someone like an Eli Manning, a Tom Brady have. And it hurts his team in the wrong spots. And I really think that this year you may see a change in the number one wide receiver spot in the entire NFL. It's been Kelvin Johnson for quite some time. I really think that Dez Bryant is ready to make that leap to be the top wide receiver in the NFL this year.
Talk about the sleeper picks that you have in the NFL this year that people are going to be very surprised on how good or how bad they are.
I think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to battle for one of the playoff spots in the AFC. They had first pick, so they were the worst team in the league last year. I think they're going to be able to battle for a playoff spot this year. I do think that the Indianapolis Colts take a step back. I think everyone's – and I love Andrew Luck. I just don't see that defense having the same year that it had. I don't see them having the same inspiration that they had with what Chuck Pagano was going through last year. They lost Bruce Arians, who was a godsend for that team when Pagano had to step away when he was battling his illness. Arians is now in San Diego. I think the Colts take a step back. And I think that that in the NFC, a team that I love this year is the St. Louis Cardinals. I think the St. Louis Cardinals have a chance to be anywhere from an 8 to a 10 win team. I think their defense is absolutely loaded. James Laurinaitis is one of my favorite players in the NFL. I think they have finally given Sam Bradford the weapons that he needs. Chris Givens looks to be his favorite target. They brought in Tavon Austin, Stedman Bailey, who were both Geno Smith's prime targets last year at West Virginia. The Cardinals are one of my teams that I really look to make some headway in the NFC.
All right, Ryan, talk to us about Sunday. What are you doing?
Sunday we have our final two division previews. We're going to go into depth with the AFC North and the NFC South. We are also going to get into a little bit of pennant race talk, and we are going to review the first weekend in college football.
All right. You've heard Ryan Stern, Beyond the Benches, this Sunday, 7:30 p.m., exclusively here on the Back Sports Page Radio Network. Ryan, thanks for taking a few minutes and coming on with us.
Oh, no problem. And just so you know, starting the week after, which is the first Sunday of NFL football, Beyond the Bench will be moving to 11 a.m. We are talking with a couple different expert fantasy football sites about having an expert come on for 15 to 20 minutes to take any calls for stardom or sit-em and sleeper picks for the week. So Beyond the Bench starting September 8th will be moving to 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m.
You got it, Ryan Stern. Beyond the Benches exclusively here on the Back Sports Page Radio Network. Ryan will be listening. Thank you again for coming on for tonight.
All right, Randy, have a great night.
You too. That's almost done with us here in the last 5 minutes. Wanted to do the sound off, which Jose and I usually do. Jose Padilla, having the night off if you're just tuning in right now. Very last minute, so Seth Kamens, Anthony Mulleville, and John Thierry from the Monday Morning Hangover. Sean Palmer, so Seth and Sean were both on with us. So we had the Seth and Sean Show, Monday Morning Hangover, and Beyond the Benches. That's three of the other four shows here on the Back Sports Page Radio Network. We all work as a team. We all work together. Coming on here, helping fill in, talking a lot of NFL football. Real quick, some NBA news.
and you know that's my specialty. Lamar Odom, NBA free agent Lamar Odom, arrested today on a DUI. A lot of stories about him this earlier this week, that he was in a hotel room with friends discussing a possible drug issue. Rumors are flying about his current marriage to Khloe Kardashian up in the air. That will all play out in the next upcoming weeks. Also, Caron Butler moved today from the Phoenix Suns to the Milwaukee Bucks. Caron, a pivotal part of the Clippers' success over the last two seasons, went to the Clippers two seasons ago as a free agent, played with Chris Paul and other members of that team. He was moved over to Phoenix and moved to bring J.J. Redick and Jared Dudley to the team, which sent Caron over to Phoenix, and the Phoenix Suns are in total rebuild mode and sent him over to the Milwaukee Bucks. Baseball update, a win tonight by the Yankees has them 4.5 back in the final wild card spot, while Cleveland and Baltimore are 4 back. Oakland has lost again. So the Yankees are technically about 4 games back, have a shot here to make it in. I hate to say it, but for baseball fans, but as the baseball goes as far as the Yankees go, Yankees are going to be fighting here. If they can get 2 out of 3 or even a sweep of Baltimore, this will put them ahead of Cleveland and make this, put the pressure on Oakland to try and hold on. I can see, Jose argued with me last week about it. I do think this can be reality for the Yankees making it in. And going in as a hot baseball team, you don't want to do that. I take a team that's in a rhythm and on a roll over a team that's been resting its starters over the last couple of weeks. Really quickly to break down that American League wild card, Tampa Bay and Oakland right now currently hold the final two spots. Cleveland and Baltimore and the Yankees about 4 games back, and Kansas City is 6.5 back. The wild card in the National League, the Pittsburgh Pirates and the St. Louis Cardinals, have pretty much clinched the spots. There's no way they can come back. Actually, no, those are tied for the division lead with the Stars. Arizona, 6 games back. Washington, 7. And I don't see either of those teams making a major push. Of course, the other big story in the NFL, that the NFL and the NFL Players Association and the retired NFL players came to an agreement about the concussions, the lawsuit that was done about former NFL players and the brain trauma from concussions. That was all settled. Quick score update. It is the bottom of the 8th in Houston, 6-1 Seattle. Out in Milwaukee, the Angels are right now a 5-0 lead on Milwaukee. Colorado leading 6-3 in the middle of the 7th. Arizona trailing San Francisco 1-0 in the top of the 5th. We were talking about the Oakland A's before. Tampa right now can help out the Yankees here with a win over Oakland. They're in the top of the 3rd, 1-0. The Dodgers right now hosting the Padres, 2-1 top of the 3rd. The rest of these are all final. Philly over Chicago, 6-5. The Yankees over the Baltimore Orioles, 8-5. The Mets with a win in Washington, 3-2. Pittsburgh over the St. Louis Cardinals, 5-0. Toronto over Kansas City, 3-2. The Red Sox beat the White Sox, 4-3. And Milwaukee over Miami, Atlanta over Miami, 2-1. Minnesota over Texas, 3-2. And in a rain delay in Detroit, it is 7-2 Tigers over the Indians. Other quick headlines right now. Dr. James Andrews has cleared RG3 to play, but they feel he should be used in a different sense. And we talked about Lamar Odom earlier today, arrested on a DUI charge. Real quick sound off tonight. I mentioned our show preview about Miley Cyrus. What Miley Cyrus did this past week at the VMA Awards is not shocking to what certain athletes and certain personalities do. As we all find it appalling and disgusting, what not only Miley Cyrus did, but what other people do, and what it does, it draws attention to them, whether it's good attention or bad attention. Sometimes attention is what they're clamoring for. We look at Dennis Rodman, Tiger Woods, Alex Rodriguez. We talk about them. They love the attention because it's press for them. Good or bad, they like it. For Randy Zellia and Real Sports Talk Radio, check out backsportsmajor.com. We'll see you next week.